Development Bays. We're beginning the fourth paddock. Still on the topic of pig oil, but we're going to discuss something related to that. And we've said all this time that in order for a carbon to be pig oil, of course, there has to be Machshavas HaZman, that's the definition, what he has in mind, to sprinkle the blood of Brunei murder or eat the meat, some of it outside the proper time. We said one of the rules of pig oil is it has to be tovu kol matzirav, that all the things that are necessary for the korban to be mutar have been offered. So in the case of, so that means, in other words, basically when the zrika was done, once the zrika was done, now with most korbanos, you still have the emurim have to be burnt as well before you can eat the meat. But at least once the blood has been sprinkled, then the korban is kosher. And then also that makes it that now the emurim can now be offered on the mizbeach. But until Kovu Komatsurav, it hasn't yet been what the Gemara called the Hukba or the Pigul, that it hasn't been established yet as Pigul. So now let's talk about, we know that you have the different kinds of Korbanos. The blood is applied to the Mizbeach different numbers of times. You have Chatos, it's put on the four corners, the individual four corners of the Mizbeach. Most Korbanos, it's Shema Tonos Shein Arba. And then you have a few Korbanos of Bechor Maaser and Pesach, where it's done with one application, which the Gemara is going to discuss, Shficha, which is pouring it gently onto the wall of the Mizbeach and onto the Yisod, or Zrika, which is standing from a distance and dashing it against the wall. So, the Mishnah says, "Beshamayim, kol mitanan on mizbeach achitzon, all the korbanos where the blood has to be placed on the mizbeach achitzon, shenosim matana achas. If he applied only one matana, so only one zvika, yotz the kippur, then he's mechaper b'diavad, even though it's supposed to be that there were shtei matanas shein arba. Nevertheless, he did only one application, then he is yotz." It says, we'll learn in the Gemara why. Of a chakas, shtei matonis, and by a chatas, so it has to be that he does at least two out of the four individual applications. By the chatas, he takes his finger and dips it in and daubs it on the four corners. So by a chatas, Bishamai says, for it to be kosher, he has to have done that to at least two of the corners. Now, what the relevance is of this is to Pigle, we'll see in a second. Bishilo says, even if there was only one matana, then it's also machaper. Lefichach, now, because we have this machloikas, and because we have, in particular, this Shammai says, and this Hillel rather says, that even by a chatas, one matana is enough, the result would be, imnosen, a serishene ketikna, if you put the first one properly, without any thought, that would pass all the korban, that's a shniach chutzuzmana, and then the second one he did with the thought of chutzuzmana, kipper, no problem, he was machaper, and the korban is not pigle, because you don't need, because by the time he did the first one, the second one is already not really completely necessary. It's, you're supposed to do it, but it's not actually necessary, because Basil is saying that it's enough to do the one application, so therefore once he did the first one, b'di'evit, so therefore he does that one, then already if he has any machshavas zman, or any machshava that would pass all the korban, nothing happens at that point. On the other hand, the nothing necessarily shown of chutzuzmana, but if it was the other way around, if he had in mind the first one, chutzuzmana, that's a shniach chutzumakoima, and then the second one, he had a thought of chutzumakoima. Now, we've learned earlier about the idea of machshavas metzias, zumi dezu, that one machshava can cancel out the other, that the korban is pigul only if he has a thought of chutzuzmana, without any other thought that would pass over the korban. We had Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing and saying it depends on the order, but if once a chacham doesn't matter the order, if there's a thought of chutzas mana in one avoda, and a thought of chutzas mekoimo, or shaloi l'shmoi, by the korbanos where that applies, by any of the other avodas, nothing happened. The korban is possible, but it's not pigle. Now, in this case, he did the first one with a thought that would make the korban pigle. He did the first application of blood by a chatas, having in mind that he's going to eat the meat or burn the emurim outside the time. Now, he does the second one, chutzum l'koyma. So wait a minute, you're going to say, well, there you have an iru of machshavas, you have a mixture of machshavas, because now you have chutzum mana and chutzum l'koyma. No, we don't care. Pigul, the chayav and olive karis, the korban is pigul and a person is chayav karis for eating it, because the fact that there's a second machshava doesn't make a difference, because, again, that second application is not really needed anymore, because once you did the first one, then the korban is kosher. So therefore, it's too late now to undo the fact that it's clean. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, On the other hand, when it comes to blood that's placed on the mizbeach apnimi, there it's different. There, even if he left out even one matana, then it's considered as though he wasn't mechaper. The word keilu actually shitim ukubetzes takes out. It's not just keilu. The fact is, he's not mechaper. When it comes to the korbanos of Yom Kippur, you have 43, according to one opinion, 47 applications of blood that have to be done between, of course, the two korbanos. The par and the sir. In the case of the par halam gavur shol tzibur and then the par peren gadol, you have 11 applications. What it is with the korbanos of Yom Kippur, you have achas the mile of a shevel a mile with the blood of the par in the kodesh kedushin. The same thing with the sir. That's 16 so far. The same thing with each one of them outside the parayfas. So 16 and 16 is 32. Then you have seven times on the top of the mizbeach, on the top of the mizbeach hazav, and four times on the four corners. So that's 43 altogether. There's an event because at that point, what you've done is you've made the Kohen Gadol has mixed the blood of the par and the sir, and does seven applications, does four applications, and then seven. Sorry, the four corners and then the seven on top. There's an opinion in the Gemara Yuma that he mixes the blood only after he does the four corners, and in that case, there's a separate four corners from the par and four from the sir, in which case you have 47 altogether. Anyway, by par helam davashok sibur and the other ones, part of many strafim, was sibur many strafim, then you have four on the four corners and seven on the top, according to everybody. Be that as it may, with all of them, as we say in Ezra Mekoyim, and then we're going to learn the next part. Matana achas mehem me'akavas. Even one matana of them that's missing is me'akav, the whole thing. So therefore, so every one of them is essential, unlike we're saying about it, Mizbeach HaChitzin, where even Beis Shammai says that no more than two are necessary by a chafas. So now, l'fichach, now if he were to do all of them properly without a machshava that would passel, and if he does even one of them, even the last one, shaloi katikna, with a thought of chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mekayma psula, then the korban would be passel because you need all matonis, and therefore as long as he's doing any of those matonis, then it's still in the process of making the korban kosher. The envoy koris, however, they will not become koris because the Tana of our Mishnah holds, it actually explains, called Ein Mefaglin B'Chatzi Matir. You can't make a korban pigle by doing something with only half of the matir, or a fraction of the matir. Since here, let's say in the case of the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, to keep things simple, so we're talking about only one korban rather than two, as by Yom Kippur. Anyway, you have 11 matonis. Each one of them is necessary for the korban to be kosher. Therefore, you can't say that he makes a pigle with only one of them. It would have to be all 11 of them that he would have in mind, the thought of pigle, or one of them that he has the thought of pigle, and the other 10 nothing, in order for it to, and the following 10 nothing, in order for it to be possible. So in this case, it will only be possible, but not pigle. Again, as opposed to a chatas, where according to Bissil, to a chatas fitzoyna, where according to Bissil, you need only one application of blood in order to make the korban kosher. Then by the time he gets to the second one, it's too late to take away the concept of pigle because you already, the first matana all by itself was able to be machak. Okay? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in Braisa, Minayin Nitana Mizbeach HaChitzen Shul Nasna Matana Achas Shekeper. How do we know that with Korbanos, where the blood is applied to the outer Mizbeach, that one Matana is enough? Tana Rabbanan, now again, this Shammai disagreed specifically as far as a Hathas, but they do agree as far as all the other Korbanos. Therefore, the Pasuk is, V'dams V'checha Yishofech, the blood of your Korbanos should be spilled. Now, it doesn't say soviv, which is where we learn the concept of shtei matonas shtei neva. So therefore, it's poured, implying that one pour is enough. So therefore, matona achas, then the korban is kosher. Rishonim discuss how we would know that as far as the oila, given that the context of the pasuk with dams v'chach and shofet is talking about other korbanos and not the oila. And there's a couple of possibilities. One is that maybe the Ran gives an answer that the consuming it on the Zeach is also called Achila. The Sfasemis points out that we've had a few times in the Masechta already the Hekesh, Zosa Torah, La Ola, La Mincha, La Chatas, La Oshem, La Miluim, La Zevach HaShlomim, that there's a Hekesh between Shlomim and all the other Korbanos, and therefore we can learn here also that once it applies to Shlomim, it applies to all the others. Tosfos discusses in some detail about according to Beis Hillel, do we even need this Drosha? The Shammai is the one who says that by a chatas you need two. Therefore, that must say that they're the ones who would need a drasha to say that that in the case of the other korbanos, one is enough. According to the Sillel, if we're saying that one is enough even by a chatas, and the Gemara is going to later on learn it from Sukkim, then why do we need a separate limud for the other korbanos? And Tosfos discusses at some length various reasons why, in fact, we might need this limud even according to the Sillel. One point is we have a general rule that only when the Torah repeats something twice by korbanos, so what about after? Therefore we would have reason to think that there'd be a difference in that regard between different korbanos where it says twice or where it doesn't say twice, and maybe therefore you could be yotze and therefore you might need more, and therefore we need this drasha according to the Sillel as well. Okay, the Gemara asks, okay, but you're telling me that this is coming to teach us this point about that if you have only one matana, then by most korbanos and according to the Sillel, even by a chatas, that you're yotze b'diavad. But don't we need those words, v'dams v'chafei yishafach, to teach us something completely different? How do we know with all blood, any time that the blood of a korban is applied to the mizbeach, we're supposed to have afterwards shirei adam ha'yishofech al-reyu, that he pours the leftover of the blood onto the yisoid, by some korbanos the western yisoid, by some of them the southern yisoid. We'll learn in the next parak about the configuration of the yisoid exactly, but the point is, you always have to have that there's supposed to be that if there's, Rashi learns that it means if there's blood left after he does the shnei matanos shnei, but let's say that he should pour it onto the yisoid. Now only by the chatas does it sort of spell out that you have to pour it onto the yisoid. So how do we know that applies to other korbanos? There are other Rishonim, by the way, who learn that Rashi is saying only if you happen to have blood left over. There are other Rishonim who learn that actually it means you're supposed to leave over blood deliberately in order to spill on the yisoid. Anyway, how do we know? Therefore, the pasuk says the blood of your korbanos should be poured, from which we learn that there has to be a pouring onto the yisoid. How do we know the yisoid? Tosfos points out because the fact is, once we find by the chatas that it says yishpech as dama yishpech al yisoid amizbeach, then over here the yishafech also would mean to pour it onto the yisoid. Anyway, the point is, so we're using the pasuk to teach us that point. How are you learning from it? This point that if you have only matana atas, then you would be yotze. And the answer is that the fact that you need to pour onto your side, we don't actually learn from the Damas V'chachay Yishofech, Naskalim Yidu Rebbe. We can instead learn it from what Rebbe taught. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, a different pasuk says about the chakas, about a korban olah b'yored, v'hanisha v'adam yimotzei, what's left over of the blood should be, talking over there actually about a chakas ha'oz. So it says, what's left over of the blood, v'hanisha v'adam yimotzei, should be squeezed out, and dribble down to she'en tamad lema badom. Now it doesn't need to say of the blood, because we're talking about that he squeezes the blood of the chata on the chata sa'oy on from his deah, and what's left, and then what's left. So ma tamad lema badom, so why does it say badom? Shidimukubetsa takes out the few words over here, because it seems very repetitious. She'en tamad lema b'dam, ma tamad lema b'dam. So just very simply, why does it say v'anisha v'adam v'motzim? So the reason is, so Rabbi says, l'fisha v'lamadnu, elolim ponen matam dalim, she'tonen matam damim v'yisoy. So far, we only see that the korbanos, which are applied four times, that you, namely the chatas, that you have to then go and apply the blood to the yisoid, because the Torah describes after the kohen goes and daubs the blood of the chatas on the four corners of the deah, then it says that what's left over you should pour onto the yisoid. By a chatas of an animal, that is. Shau domi minayim, that continues with how do we know the same thing applies as far as other blood as well, that has to be poured onto the yisoid. Tamad lima v'anisha v'adam yimotzei, that is why the Torah says that what's left over of the blood should be squeezed out. She'en tamad lima v'adam. Now there, the pasuk did not need to say v'adam. Or ma tamad lima v'adam. Why does it have to add the extra word in of the blood? Limit our call adam, shetan and matam dam on the yisoid. So this teaches us about all the other bloods, that they also have to be applied to the yisoid. So therefore, we can learn that from that pasuk. We do not have to learn it from the Dams of Achachi Yishofech, so we do have the Dams of Achachi Yishofech available to teach us about about the point that if only one application of blood was done from a korban, then b'di'evet it's kosher. We can, after all, learn from the pasuk v'damz v'chachi yishafik. So Gemara continues. Okay, so we're saying so far that we wanted to use the pasuk v'damz v'chachi yishafik to teach us that the b'di'evet of korban is kosher, even if only one application of blood is done. The Gemara had asked that we learn from that a different point, the fact that the blood b'chlalas is spilled onto the yisurid, and the answer is we're actually learning that from a different pasuk. So the Gemara says va'akati lahochi u'da'asa. Still, you're telling me that the pasuk v'damz v'chachi yishafik is teaching us about if only one matana is done. We needed to teach us a different din. How do we know? Now, when it comes to the korbanos, so you have those three kinds of korbanos where you have to begin with, where the Torah tells us only one application of them, and they are we're not talking about that yet. How do we know all the korbanos of which it says zrika, the oila, the shlomim, the osham, all of them the Torah uses the word the zoku es adamam on the zayach, also the bechor, it says ves domam tizrik. Now the word zrika means that you stand a little bit further away from the mizbeach and you dash the blood. You take the keli containing the blood and you do a sudden jerking motion with it, like, and cause the blood to spill out. To spill out from the container and then hit the wall of the mizbeach. So how do we know with those korbanos, shenosin b'shficha, that if he were to do instead shficha, if he were to stand right next to the yisoid and pour it on yotze, how do we know that he is yotze? Therefore, the pasuk says the blood of your korbanos should be poured. Zvachecha means all your korbanos. So therefore, so it means that any korban that he did shficha, then he'd be yotze. So we're learning that from the words. We're learning that from the words v'dam zvachecha yishofech. So how do we know? So fine, that tells us that if he did a shficha, that if he did a single shficha, then it'll be kosher. But how does that tell us that if he did a single zrika? Now you could ask if a single one of one is good enough, why isn't a single one of the other good enough? So one point is because you could argue, in fact, that shvicha one would be enough, but zrika maybe you need. If you're going to be doing zrika, you need dafka shtei matana shtei arba. In fact, there's a point also. Shvicha can be done like more or less continuously around. A zrika, by definition, is being done in different places, in every place. You dash blood, so maybe then you could argue that it has to be done more than once. So how do we know? So how do we know then? So we learn that from the pasuk. We don't necessarily learn that one matana is bechlal enough, even by zrika. And the answer is sabalak Rabbi Akiva. The answer is the Tana of our Mishnah actually holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Omar, he says no. Lo zrika b'chlal shficha, v'lo shficha b'chlal zrika. He says that no, zrika and shficha are not interchangeable, and he actually says, not like we just said, that any korban that was supposed to be, so he would say at least that, so he would say that any korban, the blood has to be applied the way the Torah says. If it says zrika, then you have to do zrika. If he says shficha, you have to do shficha. And if you interchange them, then no good. Well, then he's not learning from Badam's v'chachi yishofet that you could do shficha for ones that are supposed to be had zrika. So therefore, he has the pasuk of Badam's v'chachi yishofet available to teach us about the point. About if he did one matana, then b'di'evet it's kosher. And how do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that? The Tanan. We learn in the last Mishnah of Masechta Pesachim. Now, when you have the Seder, and you have the Korban Pesach, and often with it you have the Korban Chagiga as well, because you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach al Hasoiva, you're supposed to eat it when you're almost full. So nowadays, you'd have most years you would bring a Korban Chagiga with it. We talked about it previously, the Chagiga Sabah, also the one that's brought on the 14th of Nisan together with the Korban Pesach, not to be confused with, by the way, you have a different Chagiga that you bring every Yom Tov in order to be Mekayim Mitzvah of the Samach to Bechagecha, but this is one only in order to accompany the Korban Pesach. Sometimes they didn't bring it. For example, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, because you can't bring a Chagiga, then this is why in the Seder, first of all, in the Seder, we have an egg to represent the Chagiga, but also this is why we have the Nusach. Usually we say that we should be able to eat mena Zvachim and mena Psachim, Zvachim meaning the Chagiga, Psachim meaning the Korban Pesach. On Motzei Shabbos, we switch those around, and we say mena Psachim and mena Zvachim, because in a year when the Seder is Motzei Shabbos means Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, or the first day Pesach was on Shabbos, whatever, and we wouldn't have brought a Chagiga. Anyway, the point is that so now, you're eating each one of them, you make a bracha for each one of them, like you do for any mitzvah. Rashi says that the nusach of the bracha is for uh, for 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 the for for the for the Pesach, it would be Asher Kedushanim Mitzvahs of Itzvon Lechal Pesach, and for the Hagiga Asher Kedushanim Mitzvahs of Itzvon Lechal HaZevach. The Rambam phrases it a little differently. The Rambam's phrasing is Asher Kedushanim Mitzvahs of Itzvon Alachilos HaPesach and Alachilos HaZevach. Anyway, so the Mishnah says Beirach Birkas HaPesach, if he made a bracha on the Korban Pesach, Potter Rosh HaZevach, then with that he's pattering also the Zevach, the Chagiga, and therefore he doesn't have to make a separate bracha on the Chagiga. Now, of course, you can't eat anything after you finish the Korban Pesach. But you would, that Amram describes, that you would eat some of the Pesach, then you would eat the rest of the meal, including the Chagiga, and then you would finish off with a piece of the Korban Pesach, which we have the Afikoman corresponding to that nowadays. So if you made the bracha on the Pesach, then you're pottering also the Zevach. Shal Zevach, like Potter as a Pesach, whereas if you make a bracha on the Zevach, on the Shlomim, then you're not pottering the Pesach. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. At this point, the Gemara assumes, and then the Gemara says, as much as Pesachim, that the reason is, again, it goes back to this matter of Zrika and Shficha. The Chagiga is a Shlomim. So you have to throw the blood to the Mizbeach. As opposed to the Pesach, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the way to put the blood of the Korban Pesach on the Mizbeach is Shficha, is pouring. So therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel, so at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the Gemara mentions this in Pesachim as well, that Rabbi Shmuel will hold Zrika B'chlal Shficha, that the word Shficha, pouring, also includes Zrika, which would be, as we said a few lines ago, therefore, that if you have a Korban where you were supposed to do Zrika and you did Shficha, then B'dieved Yoyotze, therefore, when he makes the bracha on the Pesach, which is supposed to be with Shlicha, then it can be motzi also the Chagiga, which is supposed to be done with the Zrika, because even if the blood had been done with Shlicha, then it would be kosher. Anyway, that's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Oimah, loy zupa teres zu, v'loy zupa teres zu. Rabbi Akiva says, no, neither bracha passes the other one, because we just said he holds that these two are not interchangeable. Ones that have to be done zrika, you have to do zrika. Ones that have to do shvicha, you have to do shvicha. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, the two korbanos are completely disjoint, and you can't be motzi one of them with the bracha on the other one. Why? Because you have two different things, Shlicha and Zrika. Tosfos discusses at some length and then compares it with the relevant Gemara in Pesachim and with several other Gemaras, okay, we'll talk about that actually further on. We'll talk about that a few lines further on once we work out Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Anyway, the point to Rabbi Akiva, that no, you can't have a korban that was supposed to be done with Zrika, you can't do Shvicha. Well, very well then, Rabbi Akiva is not learning from Dam Zvachachi Yishofet that such a thing would work, because according to him, Attaka doesn't work. Therefore, he has the pasuk available, as in our Mishnah, to say that one matana b'diyeved is enough. Still, you want to ask Akati l'hochi hudasa, still, are you telling me that... So it comes out, by the way, also that... Rashi explains that Rabbi Shmuel is actually learning two things from the pasuk. He's learning that zrika b'chlal shvicha, as we said before, and he also learns that the Pesach itself, that the blood has to be applied with shvicha. The Gemara is soon going to ask how Rabbi Shmuel darshins such a thing. And then also Rashi also adds that there's further the earlier brisa, the brisa that had said that how do we know that the earlier brisa that had said that how do we know you have to pour onto the yisoid, so that's the thing we're saying over here, that the tana of the other brisa that says that we have the damas v'chafi yishofet to teach us about that one matana is enough, he will disagree with Rabbi Akiva that the Pesach has to be with shvicha. He would actually hold the Korban Pesach is supposed to be done with zrika, as we're going to work out in the Gemara soon. So the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, Akati l'hochi u'da'asa, still, is Rabbi Shmuel, still, are we saying that we're using the pasuk the damas v'chachi yishofet to teach us this point, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you can be yotze v'dievet with shvicha, and we're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, we're using the damas v'chachi yishofet to teach us if you did one matana, then v'dievet you yotze? Midbari lo lechadatanya. We need to teach us another point that it says in a brayza. Rabbi Shmuel Omer mitoich shenema ach b'chor shorah b'chor keser v'b'chor ezer. Remember the pasuk says, however, the b'chor of a sheep or of a sheep or a goat or an ox or a sheep or a goat. So the pasuk says that you have to bring them as a korban. This is a b'chor behema. You throw the blood on the mizbeach and you burn the chayma. So the man of the b'chor should turn matam dam ve'murim l'gam mizbeach. So that tells us that a b'chor, the blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach and the emurim has to be burnt on the mizbeach, which otherwise we don't have any place else where it says that. Maiser Pesach Minayim continues Rabbi Shmuel. How do we know the same is true as far as Maiser Behema and the Korban Pesach, where it never says in so many words anywhere else what you do with them? That is why you have the pasuk the Damas Vachachi Yishafet teaching you that there are other korbanos as well where the blood has to be poured, and since every other korban the Torah spells out what has to be done with the blood, so therefore we use this for Maaser and Pesach. Now that's as far as the blood. The original Braisa the Gemara is quoting from continues to explain how we know that also the Chelev is burnt on the Emurim are burnt on the Mizbeach, because the pasuk says that's Chelvam Tapti. The pasuk says and the Chelev you should offer them. So therefore Rabbi Shmuel is learning from the Damas Vachachi Yishafet. So he's learning from Adam's Machachi Yishofet that the fact that Maaser and the Pesach have their blood applied to the Mizbeach at all. So how can we use that also? To teach us about that? If it was supposed to be done Zrika and he did Shlicha, that he was Yotze. And then we still have the question how we're going to learn the point of on Mishnah that if he did one Matana then B'diavad he's Yotze. So the answer is the answer is that when we learn the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Shmuel. He holds like Rabbi Yisag Levi, where he learns the fact that the Bechor and Maaser and Pesach, the Maaser and Pesach have to have their blood applied to the Mizbeach. He's going to learn Rabbi Yisag Levi learns from a different pasuk. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, he learns it actually from the very pasuk as far as the Bechor. So here, Rabbi Shmuel was saying that when it says Ach Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Bechor Eid, that tells us that the Bechor has to have its blood and the Emurim applied to the Mizbeach. But how would you know the other ones? For that, you need the Zamz Vachafi and Shofi. Rabbi Yosef really disagrees and says all of it you're learning from the one pasuk. Dom Loy Loy Nemar, it doesn't say its blood, Ela Dom Mom, but their blood in the plural. Chel Boy Loy Nemar, it doesn't say its Chelev, Ela Chel Bom, again in the plural. Limit on the third of Maaser. Therefore, that teaches us about all three of them, before Maaser and Pesach, that the blood has to be sprinkled on the Emurim, or dashed, or spilled, or whatever, on the Mizbeach, and the Emurim have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So he's not using the Damas Vachachi Yishofet for this purpose at all. Therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah can follow that and say that we learn from that if there was only one Matana by other Korbanos and B'dieved Izyot. Rashi points out that for a little further on that Rabbi Shmuel would answer that no, you know why it says in plurals, because we're talking about several different kinds of animals, b'chor shor, b'chor kesev, b'chor eiz. He says it still only refers to one kind of korban, and the fact that you're including other kinds of korbanos, you have to learn from the pasuk v'damz v'chachi yishofet. But Rabbi Yosef really is learning it from the plurals in this pasuk itself. Okay, so in short, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Rabbi Yosef really in that. Meanwhile, we're saying that, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that from Damas of Chafi Yishofet, we're learning a different din, the fact that if you did Shvicha instead of Zrika, then B'dieved you Yotze. And we said at the top of the Yom, there's another Tana who holds that you would learn from there that you have to pour the blood on the Yisoyin. Okay? So now the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, Haikrom Makat Leilahochi or Makat Leilahochi? It comes out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, on the face of it, he's trying to use the same pasuk to teach us two different things. Number one, that you have to spill the blood of the Pesach onto the Yisoid, rather than dashing it against the side of the Mizbeach, like you do it by Bechor. And number two, also, that he's learning that if he did other korbanos that are supposed to be done with Zrika, then he's Yotze B'dieved if he does it with Shvicha. So how is he doing that? Now Rashi points out the brisa that learns from Adam's Vachachi Yishofet that you can be yotze with shvicha of necessity. It has to be like Rabbi Shmuel, because if it was like Rabbi Akiva, then Rabbi Akiva had just said that no, zuta and shvicha are not interchangeable, and that was why he said the brachas on the two korbanos are not interchangeable. So therefore, of necessity, the brisa has to be like Rabbi Shmuel. So how is he learning two drushes from one brisa? from one pasuk. And the answer is Chei Tanoi, Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, there are two Tanoim who disagree what Rabbi Shmuel holds. So one Tana learns that we learn from this pasuk that the blood of the Pesach is poured onto the Yisoid rather than being dashed from a distance. He would not hold of the concept that Rabbi Shmuel says that the bracha on one korban can pass to the other one because he would say, as far as that, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva do agree that Zrika and Shvicha are not interchangeable. We do learn from that pasuk that Pesach is applied by Shvicha, but we're not going to learn from it that if you did Shvicha for a korban that was supposed to be Zrika, that you would be Yotzei B'dieved. On the other hand, the other Tana holds that Rabbi Shmuel does hold that they're interchangeable. He would actually hold that the Pesach B'chlal, you don't pour the blood, but rather you dash it from a distant Zerker. And then we would have a different reason. Rashi says in that case, then why, according to that opinion, would we say that the bracha of one patters the other one? Is because the Pesach is an ikker and the zevach, the shlomim, is tofel to it. So therefore, that would be reason enough for the bracha to patter, not because there's anything as far as the different kinds of application of blood. In fact, both of them, the blood is applied the same way. But the bracha on the zevach cannot patter the Pesach because the zevach is secondary and you can't have a secondary thing patter the main thing, which is the Pesach. So it comes out, in other words, so there are two different opinions, in short, in Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, whether the blood of the Pesach is applied, if it's Shvicha or it's Zrika, and there's also two different opinions within Rabbi Shmuel, whether in fact the bracha on one can pass to the other, or whether, like Rabbi Akiva, that neither one can pass to the other. Tosfos discusses in some detail over here, about this, that the relevant Gemara in Pesachim just mentions the point about that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Zrika is included in Shvicha, but not the other way around, showing that Rabbi Shmuel actually holds both, that the blood of the Pesach is done with Shvicha, and that Zrika is included in Shvicha, and therefore that the bracha for the Pesach can be Motzi the Chagiga. Tosfos goes on with several other questions over here as well. So rather, Tosfos ends up saying that no, the Gemara is actually saying Rabbi Shmuel is in fact learning the fact that the blood of the Korban Pesach is done with Shvicha. He is actually learning it not from Dan Zvachecha. He's learning it from a different pasuk. The question is that when we're asking how is Rabbi Shmuel learning both things from the pasuk, then the Gemara could have easily answered he's not, he's learning from a different pasuk, but the Gemara is just saying it because the fact is we do have this braisa of Rabbi Yosef Aglili that we can learn it from Dhammam and Chelbam, and therefore it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel is learning them both from one pasuk. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point at some length about what exactly Rabbi Shmuel is learning from this pasuk and what he tackles holds about the application of the blood of the Korban Pesach, whether in fact he holds that it's Shvicha or Zrika. Lemaisa, or the Rambam Paskins, on the one hand, that the Korban Pesach is done with Shvicha, whereas the Chagiga is done with Zrika. He also Paskins that neither bracha patters the other, like Rabbi Akiva, and he also says, as we're saying in our Mishnah, as we're saying in our Sylvia, that one application of blood, but the other, the Yotze. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Vishleimah the Rabbi Shmuel." So now let's get back to we said Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef Aglili disagree about the pasuk Ach b'chor shor b'chor kesef b'pareis. Is it teaching us that the blood is applied to the mizbeach and the emurim are burned, and the other ones we have to learn from the dam zvachach yishafet? Or Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying we can learn them all from the one pasuk because it says v'dam mam and psar ram in the plural. So the question is, says the entire pasuk is talking about a bechor. I need to see if that explains. The next pasuk continues, of soram yalof, and their meat should be for you, for the Korean. Because the fact is, the bechor is always given to the Korean, and it doesn't matter what species of kosher animal it was. El Rabbi Yisag Lili, demukile nami b'maiser pesach. Rabbi Yisag Lili, who says that the previous pasuk, dom rom and besod rom, refers to maiser and pesach as well.
The question is, what do you mean? It's not yiyaloch that Hashem is telling Aaron it's going to go to you. Meiser Pesach by the machlele, by Meiser the owners eat it, and by the Pesach the owners also eat it. So then my was sodom yiyaloch. So why is the Torah saying their meat should be for you? In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the their refers to the different kinds of animals, shur, kesef, and aze. But according to Rabbi Yisraeli, that it refers to different types of korbanos. The fact is, only one of those types is given to the kohen. And the answer is echad tam ve'echad bal min. The answer is the plural, according to Rabbi Yisraeli, would refer to a tam or a bal min. So it doesn't mean the different species of bechor, but it means whether it's a tam or whether it's a bal min. Either way, you need to give it to the kohen. Tosfos points out, in other words, that the fact is that Mordechai learns that the Baal Mum is given to the Kohen from different psukim, but he was saying it's not so much that we're learning from over Sodom, it's more that the reason the Torah uses the plural over Sodom is because it has to include a Baal Mum as well. Limit a Bechor Baal Mum, Shinitin Lakoyen. From here we learn that a Bechor Baal Mum is given to the Kohen, Shalom Achsinu, La Bechor HaTorah Kula. We don't otherwise find any place else in the Torah. What's supposed to be done? The Baal Mum is given to that should be given to the Kohen, and obviously you can't bring it as a korban. So therefore, this pasuk is teaching you that you also give it to the Kohen. Of Sodom Yiyaloch, they're meat, whether it's a tam or whether it's a balmum. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos instead brings a different explanation, and Shitu Kovetz adds a question of Tosfos, that the question would be, so what? We don't find anything else. B'chol HaTorah. Does that mean that therefore we should invent something that we don't otherwise have? So rather, what it is that we never find, usually psulei hamukdashin are not given to a kohen. Usually you have a korban that was supposed to be given, you have an animal that was supposed to be a korban, and it became posel, you put it there, and you can eat it. Chatzviv ha'ayel, as the Torah says a few times. Where do you ever have this kind of concept that a baal mum should be given to the kohen? That is why the Torah is telling you that in fact it does, in the case of a bechor, it does in fact have to be given to the kohen. Okay.
Meaning if you don't...
So
just because you don't have a raya
from the pasuk, but this is, in other words, this is something unique in the Torah. Right. This is something unique that you should have to give a baal mum to the kohen, unlike every other korban, and therefore the Torah has to stress that by saying the word of Sodom. Okay. So Rabbi Yisraeli is saying that that's what it means. Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He also needs to know that a bechor baal mum is given to the kohen. The answer is nachkalim lachor yir de sefer. He says because the pasuk finishes off after it says of sodom yalach chazei afil for sheta yamin lachor yir. So therefore it means that it will be for you whether it's a tam or a baal mum. Okay. The Gemara continues. Let's consider now further. According to Rabbi Yisraeli, the pasuk as domim tizrik as chalom takter is referring not only to the bechor but also by implication to the ma'aser and pesach. Again, because of the plurals domam and besaram. The pasuk continues. You should not redeem them; they are holy. And we learn from the word heim craving them tmuras and kreva. So we can learn that it means that all of them, they themselves are brought as a korban, but not their Tmura. So and the fact is that din would apply to all three of them. Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, Tmuras Bechor Meiser. If a person makes a Tmura for a Bechor or a Meiser, now many Korbanis, if you make a Tmura of them, the Tmura is actually brought as a Korban. If a person makes a Tmura of an Oila, then it's brought as an Oila. Shlomim, a bunch of other Korbanis as well. But when it comes to Bechor or Meiser, Hain, the Tmura itself, or Vladan, and a baby that was born to the Tmura, or Vladan, or a baby of that, Ad Sof Kolarulam, until the end of the world, Harein to Bechor or Meiser, they still have the din of Bechor and Meiser, which you cannot redeem them when they have a mum, but you also don't bring them as a korban. You have to wait until they develop a mum and then treat them like a bechor or like meiser, and then you can eat them without bringing them as a korban. So we see that they're
meaning are they like a etzem or toyer?
So they're what?
Are they in essence like he's going to say later? Are they like by korban Pesach? Is it a but now is Pesach so it can't change or is
well, that, but in other words, the point is that the point is we're learning from this word heim that the tmura of a bechor cannot be brought as a korban, and neither can the tmura of a meiser, and not only the tmura itself, but also any babies that they have, etc. So we learn that from the word heim. And again, according to Rabbi Yisraeli, that's very well, because we have the word heim, and the pasuk is in a pasuk that's referring to bechor and meiser and pesach. So that's as far as Tmura, that's as far as Bechor and Meiser. And Utnan, and as far as Pesach, it's like this. We learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim, Om Rabbi Yeshua, Shamaiti, I have heard from my Rabbeim, Shetmuras Pesach Kreva, that there's a case where a Tmura of a Pesach is brought as a Korban, or Tmuras Pesach ain't a Kreva, but there's also a case where the Tmura of a Pesach is not brought as a Korban, Ve'en Lilafarish, and Rabbi Yeshua says, I can't explain, I don't remember which one was which. And then in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva goes on to explain the distinction. It depends whether, if he lost the original one and found it before he brought another one, after he brought another one, there's differences over there whether he's going to bring it as a shlomim, whether he can't bring it as a second Pesach, but whether he can bring it as a shlomim, or whether he doesn't bring it at all and leaves it till it develops a mum. Anyway, the point is that we see that there is a case with a tmura of a Pesach where you don't bring it as a korban, so therefore good. So you have a point of Rabbi Yosef Lili. We're learning all three types of korban, b'chor, meiser, and Pesach, from the same pasuk. So the miut from the word heim about the tmura is also applying to all three of them. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says the entire pasuk is talking about bechor and the plurals in the pasuk dom mom and chel bom refer to the different species, and the besorim in the next pasuk he says refers to tam and balmon. So then bechor meiser. So then meiser pesach. They're like kriva tmuras and menoleh. Well then, where is he learning the fact that the tmura of a meiser or a pesach is not brought? Meiser always and pesach sometimes. Where would he learn that from? The answer is he learns them from other psukim. Meiser gomer avora avora mebechor. When it comes to meiser, he learns gzeira shava on the word avora from bechor. By bechor you have ba'avarta for petarechem. By meiser you have kolosha yavor tachsa shava. And since the tmura of a bechor is not brought, which we can definitely learn from the word heim, then he learns that the same thing applies to meiser. So he's learning it from a different pasuk. He's learning it from gzeira shava. Pesach behed yoksidbe, Pesach behed yoksidbe. As far as the Korban Pesach, he says there's a clear miut that it says about the Korban Pesach. Because when the pasuk talks about a shlomim and mentions among these, you can bring a shlomim from different kinds of animals, one of them being im kesef, if a sheep. The words im kesef, l'rabas tmuras ha-pesach, akar pesach, ha-tikra of shlomim. From that we learn this already in the first parak, that a tmura of a pesach, if pesach has already passed, if the time of bringing the korban pesach has already passed, then you do bring that korban as shlomim, because in general, a leftover pesach becomes shlomim. Yochol af lefnei ha-pesach ken, you would think the same thing would apply even if the korban pesach had not been brought yet. Tamad lemo hu, therefore the pasuk says zevach pesach hu la-shem, so it's a miut, so only the korban pesach, not its tmura. So therefore, so you have psukim from which we learn directly for the Korban Pesach, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel does not need to learn them from the pasuk about Bechor. Okay. So far we had several different opinions. Now, so going back, the Gemara had started the sugya by discussing the fact that in our Mishnah we said that if a korban, even when you have to have shtei matana shtein arba, if you did b'dieven only one matana, then your yotzeh and the korban is kosher. And he said that has implications as far as the dinner of pickle. That if he had a machsheves zman during the first matana, then it's too late to unmake that, even if he has a machsheves makrim or whatever in the next application of blood, because by that time the korban is already, by that time it was already yotza and the korban is kosher. So we started by saying we're learning that from the pasuk of Dams of Achachi Yishofen. The Gemara has just spent the last omud and a half discussing various Tanoim who hold that we learn from the Dams of Achachi Yishofen. We learn other dinim. So the question is the Chol Hanach Tanoim Demashu Lelahai Dams of Achachi Yishofen the Drosh Achrina. So all those other Tanoim who are learning it for other Droshes, whether we're saying that you have to spill the blood, the Shirayim onto the Yisoid, or this idea that even if Korban were supposed to do Zrika and B'dievet you do Shvicha, then you're Yotze. And Rabbi Shmuel's thing that you learn from that about Meiser and Pesach, that you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. So all of those Tanoim, well then where do they learn the din of our Mishnah? That even if only one Matana was done, then B'dieved, the Korban is kosher. And the answer is Savri lo kibisilo, damri afchatas shenosim atanachas kippur. They hold like Basilo, who in our Mishnah says that applies even to a chatas, as the Gemara is going to go on to learn from Pesukim, according to Basilo, v'yalfi kolum achatas. So they would hold, you can learn all of them from the chatas. So the Gemara had started by saying that the Tana of our Mishnah does not learn them all from Chafas and needs a different drasha. That was Tosfos that discussed before. Is that drasha needed only according to Beis Shammai? It was said by Chafas, you need at least two applications. And Tosfos had discussed in some detail why, even according to Beis Hillel, we might need this drasha. We might not be able to learn from Chafas. But the other Tanoim say, never mind that. You could, in fact, learn from Chafas to all the other Korbanos. And therefore, once by a Chafas, one application is enough. So it is by all the other Korbanos. They don't need Radams Vachachi Yishrafik for that. So they can use it for their various other drams. So the Gemara says, V'achatas shnei matonis. Now, when it comes to a chatas, Beis Shammai had said, you need at least two matonis out of the four in order for it to be kosher. So Omer of one of my time into Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai say that a chatas is different? So like this, you have a few, the Torah mentions a few sections about chatois chitzonis. Never mind the chatois apnimis. You have the parahelam, you have the parakoin godol and parahelam davashot tzibur, then the blood is applied to the mezbeach apnimi. We're not dealing with those. We're talking about ones where the blood is applied to the mezbeach chitzin. The Pasuk mentions you have the case where a nosi, where the king, does an avera and has to bring a korban chatas, and then you have two cases where, and then you have where yochid does, where there can be two different possibilities. One is he brings a goat, and the other is he brings a sheep. And the Torah goes and spells out detail by detail what's done in each of those cases. By each one of them, it says the word karnos, that the blood should be applied to the corners of the mizbeach. So karnos, for three times, it's karnos. Each time is the plural. Hare kan shesh. So that means, in effect, you have as if it said six times the word keren. Now the mizbeach has only four kronos. So what does that mean? Our bala mitzvah, it means four of them have to be done, is the proper way to do the mitzvah. And then two of them are to teach us that that's the minimum. And if you didn't do at least those two, then the korban is possible. Tosfos points out that a little further, the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines about the civil, a concept called kapara b'chdiloy ashkechan. It's impossible to have a kapara without anything. So there has to be at least one application of blood. That is why the civil holds that you need at least one. So it shouldn't be Shammai learn the same way. They should say you don't need a pasuk to teach us about one, and therefore you would have to do five. And the answer is the Shammai does not necessarily hold that savan.
You need to do something.
Right, you need to do something, but the point is, Basila will hold that Svara, and therefore, according to them, we can reduce, we don't even need a posse to teach us that you need at least one of them. The Psukim can be teaching us a different point. But according to this Shammai, Tosfos says, this Shammai does not hold that Svara, and therefore, according to them, you actually need everything to be spelled out, even the fact that you would need any application, and therefore, they can use one of the Karanoses to teach us that you need at least two. Basila, Karnas, Karnos. This Hillel points out that of the times that it says Karnos in these psukim, two of them are written Choser and one is written Malay. And the ones that are written Choser, we can douch in them as though it said Karnas, the horn in the singular. So therefore, you really only have four. Now, in our Sifrei Torah and our Chumashim, you do not have like that, actually. You have all of them are in fact possible. So the answer, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Yuri Nashas in a Gemara in Shabbos that there's quite a number of places in Shas where it seems that their Masorah was different than ours. The Masorah of what exactly is Mole and what is Choser, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. We're not Baki in it. It seems that in a number of places, the Masorah that the Gemara had of which words are to be written Mole and which one's Choser is different than the way we have it in our Sifrei Torah. One point is, you have the different Vale Masorah. You have in Sfarim on Masorah, they talk about the Marvoi and Madidchoi. You have the Westerners, the Chum of Eretz, the Vale Masorah of Eretz Yisrael, and the Easterners from Bavel. And in many cases, they have arguments about the spelling of certain words. Mm-hmm. The Gemara was written in Babel, so it may be following more the Masorah, the Manin Choy, whereas our Sifrei Torah in general, we follow the Ma'arovai. Be that as it may, according to the Masorah that Basila was using, you have twice where it says Choser and one where it says Malay, Hare Kan Arba. So they would learn the word Karnas can be understood as a singular. The Gemara elsewhere talks about this idea of Yesh'em L'mikri, Yesh'em L'masorah, whether we're primarily following the way it's written in the Torah or the way it's pronounced. So Basil is following the way it's written in the Torah. So therefore, you have Arei Kan Arba. So you only have four. Sholosh L'mitzvah, V'achas L'akeh. So that means out of the four, three of them are to mitzvah to do L'chatchila, and one of them is M'akeh. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema chulu l'mitzvah?" Maybe it means all four of them have to be for mitzvah, and none of them are lachiv. And the answer is kapara b'chdi la'yashkafan. It's impossible to have kapara without doing anything. So therefore, Basilo has necessarily has to say one of them is definitely meant lachiv, because otherwise you'd be saying that there's no application of blood is necessary at all for the chatas to work, and that's certainly not going to happen. Okay, the Iboisema, higher time of the Basilo. Another way you could look at it is the reason why Basilo says that one is enough. Is that Ahani Mikra Vahani Masuris? Basilo would look at both the Mithra, the way that it's read, with each time it's pronounced Kaunois, and the Masuris, the Masurda of how to write it, which is that that two of them are Chosar and one is Malay, and therefore we kind of make a compromise between them. Ahani Mikra Lotafur Yechoda, the fact that we read them all Malay is effective to add one more. So in other words, you start off with the Masuris that has four, and then because all of them are read Kaunois, therefore that tells us to add one. On the other hand, the Masuris, the fact that some of them are written chaser, tells us to subtract one. So therefore, we end up with five. And one of them is repeated. Shana all of our chaser lachiv. Since the Mizbeach has only four corners, there you go. Another way of looking at it is that four of them are lemitzvah, and one of them is repeated to tell you that one is ma'akiv. So the Gemara asks, Elameata, by that same kind of logic, Lachetofus, Harekan Arba, by the same logic, again, you have where it says several times Lachetofus, and we learn from that the four parashiyos in Tefillin. We're not talking about, according to the Bakiva, Tapakasvi Shayim. The Gemara will bring that up in another line. Right now, we're talking about according to an opinion in the Gemara and Menachos, and the various other Gemaras on the subject, that we learn from the fact that it repeats L'Tetophis several times. So again, we have L'Tetophis, and some of them are Molei, and some of them are Chosser. And we learn from that four Batim. So you should say the same kind of thing. Ahani Krova, Ahani Masuris. By that same logic, we should be making a compromise, sort of, between the way it's read and the way it's written. Chamisha Bati Boilem Evan, and the result would be that you need five Batim at filling. Tosfos, by the way, discusses over here, are we actually learning from the fact that it says L'Tetophos, where is there a place where it says L'Tetophos with a Vav after the Fe, as the Gemara is spelling it over here? In fact, in the Chumash, in our Sifrei Torah, all the times when it says L'Tetophos, always the Vav after the Fe is missing. You only have the difference whether there's a Vav between the two Tesses. Exactly. So,
L'Tetophos, in Visharecha and the Tavis, Vayim Shemaya, one is Malay, one is Fasser, and if you mix them up,
then you have a problem. Right. But the point is, none of them have the Tetophos with a Vav after the Fe, which would make it plural. The Vav between the two Tesses is not the sign of a plural. So Tosfos discusses that point over here, and says that rather the Gemara is darshaning from the extra Vav of Ula Tetophos that you have in Parshas Bo, that you have in Vayakiv Yacha. So we can be taking that Vav and we can be darshaning it. Then Tosfos says that maybe actually we could darshan the Vav between the two Tesses, maybe we can move it over as if it was between the Fe and the Sof. But Tosfos says no, this concept, which the Gemara had mentioned earlier in Ormasechta, in the previous Perek, called Gurunim, in the second Perek, called Gurunim, Esif and Medoshin, that applies, Tosfos learns over here, and in some other places in Shach, that works only at the beginning or the end of a word. You can't take letters from the middle of a word and rearrange them someplace else to do that kind of Derosha. So therefore, it would have to be the Vav of all the Tetophos, which we're moving further on in the word. Okay, anyway, the point is that by this, if you're going to tell me that Basil, in the second answer, we're saying that Basil is saying you kind of make a compromise between Mikra and Masuris, so then by Tfilin you should do that also, and the result is you have five Batim. The answer is Sovalakir Abakiva, Domatat, Kaspi Shtayim, Paspa Afriki Shtayim. The answer is that this answer, the Tautzen who gave that answer will hold like Rabbi Akiva, or Basilo themselves will hold like Rabbi Akiva, that he learns from the words tat and pass that they both mean two, and therefore that equals four, and therefore there's no basis to say that it means five. Now, Tosfos points out, in that case, if it says L'chitofos three times in the Torah, then maybe you should have 12 batim. And the answer is no. Since it says, since according to Rabbi Akiva, taf and pas themselves mean two each, then therefore it's as if the Torah clearly said the word four, and we're not going to multiply it by the times that, by the number of times that it says in the Torah. Where you have, where we have to learn from the number of times it says a word, and we have to learn from the fact that the word is in singular or plural form, there we can talk about that it increases the number. But where it actually says four, then you don't do that. Another point Tosfos brings is that one of them is meant legufoy, and the other two are meant for the minion. So it's different. By tefillin, we're not going to say that we do this kind of compromise between mikra and masorta, but we might well do that by the times that it says kau nois or kau nas. Okay, Elomayat. So by the same logic, basukas. What about you have the same kind of thing when it comes to the psukim about sitting in sukkas, and there our Masoda does agree with the one of the Gemara because you do in fact have two of them in the pasuk are written chaser and one is like. And we learn from that about how many walls a sukkah has to have. You're going to say the same thing, ahani mikra, ahani masodas. You're going to kind of make a compromise between Mikra and Masoras, Chamisha Dafnosa Boilam Evad. Would that mean that a sukkah has to have five
walls? You have to have a pentagon.
You have to have a pentagon sukkah, or maybe like you cut out a corner or something. There's actually an explanation. There's actually an explanation from Revelvel Soloveitchik, from Revelvel Brister, that says, what are you going to think? So you have to adapt to build your sukkah as a pentagon? But no, in other words, the point is, it's not just a matter that you need a suit, that you need the sukkah to be surrounded. According to this, we'd be saying there's a halachal, there's a din, it's a xeris akosav that you have to have X number of walls. And yes, if that means making another pentagon or making it as an L shape or whatever, in order to adapt to have that number of walls, then maybe you would have to do that. So that's not so, because we know we have the different opinions whether you need three or four walls, but you certainly don't need five. And the answer is hosam chad kra kule the gufri. The answer is there we have to take out, Rashi add the word Rashi and go to Bach, add the word dal chad kra. You have to take out one posik, kule the gufri, which is meant just the gufri, to tell us just the fact that you need to sit in a sukkah. So Tosfos points out the difference is Taunos already suggests a number, but the word sukkos does not suggest a number of walls. It would mean on the face of it two sukkos. So therefore, we have a reason to leave out one word sukkos entirely. So you use one pasuk legufei to tell us that point that you need a sukkah b'chlal v'chad l'schacha, and another one tells us the fact that you need a schach. So therefore, that really leaves three. Now comes Allah from Moshe Sinai and says you don't need a full third, that it's enough to have shlishus afilu tefach. So we're not in fact learning that you need five, because in fact we're using the various times that it says basukos to teach us different points like that about the fact that you need a sukkah b'chlal, and about the fact that the sukkah needs schach. The Rama in the relevant Gemara in Sanhedrin learns it all differently. Why? When do we say chad kro legufei, and when do we not? Because what you have is when it comes to the words karnos, it's saying that it means you have to put on the karnos. So then we can douch in every single one of them. We're not going to say we leave one of them out to tell us the basic fact. As opposed to over here by sukkos, the Torah is telling you by sukkos teishu, meaning that you have to live in the sukkah. But it's not telling you how many times you have to live in the sukkah. Therefore, we're entitled to take one of them and say that it teaches us the basic concept that you have to sit in the sukkah. So a different way of learning than Tosfos, which avoids the question of Tosfos, why there would be the difference. The difference is because kaunos itself means place the blood on the kaunos as opposed to sukkos. Basukas teshu doesn't tell us the words basukas teshu themselves are needed to tell us that you have to sit in a sukkah. So the Gemara continues, Elamei Ata, by the same logic, if you're going to tell me that we have to make a compromise between the Mikra and the Masoda, according to the Sibyl, what about the Tomas Shavu'ayim, by a Nida, by a woman, by a Yeledes who gave birth to a girl, the Torah tells us she's Tomei for 2 weeks, and the word is written in the Torah without the Vav, so we can read it Shivim, we can read it as if it said Shivim, 70. So you're going to say the same thing, Ahani Krov, Ahani Masoras. You're going to take the way it's read and the Masoras, and you're going to have to compromise and say, Avoy Matrein Boya, that she's going to be Tomei for 42 days, because you're going to take 70 plus 14 and divide it in two and get 42. And it's not so. And the answer is Shiny Hosn, Dichtib Knidasa. There it's different because the Torah spells out that it's going to be like the time when she's Nida. So therefore, so we learn from that. So Nida is 1 week. And the, in other words, it has to be as close as possible to a Nida. A Nida is 1 week in the case where she gave birth to a girl at 2. If it's 70, then it would be very, very far away from Nida, and therefore we ignore completely any possibility that it could possibly mean 70, and therefore we're left only with the 14, as opposed to here. By Karnos, we have no particular reason to do that, and therefore Basil can well say that we make a compromise between the Mikra and the Masurta, and we would end up with 5, and one of them, in effect, is a repetition, therefore, and the result is we have 4 that you have to do the mitzvah, and one is repeated to tell a flacking. So that would be another way of learning their din in our Mishnah. And then the Gemara will continue explaining another way of how Basilel learns their din and talking about this matter of the different matones, how many are needed in order for the korban to be kosher.